Long Island Bluegrass Quartet will be at the Tin House Music at Restoration Farm, Old Bethpage, beginning at 2. Winston Erie will be at Navy Beach in Montauk, 5 p.m. Parallel will be at the Frank Melville Memorial Park in East Setauket, 5:30. Jack's Waterfall will be at the Stony Brook Village Center, 7 p.m. Tom Penn Nonne will be at Treme in Islip. James Maddock will be at the Rockwood Music Hall, Stage 3, 7:30. Gent Treadley will be at the Brooklyn Bowl at 8. On your concert billboard for Monday, August 4th, Science and Soundswell will be at 89 North in Patchogue, beginning at 7. Jesse Terry with Tina Schaefer and friends will be at the Bitter End, 8 p.m. John Paris will be at B.B. King's, Manhattan, at 8. On your concert billboard for Tuesday, August 5th, J.K. Hodge will be at the Bayshore Bandshell, 12:30. Buddy Merriam and the Mandolin Experience will be at the Mejute Beach Hut, 5:30. Double Play will be at the Dublin Deck in Patchogue. Marsha Ball will be at the Stephen Talkhouse in Amagansett, 8 p.m. Looking ahead to Wednesday, August 6th, Toby Tobias and friends will be at Harborfront Park in Port Jefferson, 6:30.
Do you love concert and festival music? Go to Wake and Bake, 5 to 7 Tuesday mornings on WUSB Stony Brook.
Thank you. and very good evening to everyone listening. It's 6 o'clock, 6:08 actually, and you're listening to Off the Wall on WUSB Stony Brook. I'm with you tonight. With my good friend Emmanuel.
Oh, hello, how are you?
Hi Emmanuel, how are you doing?
I'm not doing anything. I'm just here, not being distracted by anything at all. Hang on, let me just get rid of that.
Well, it's good to have you.
Thank you.
I'm really
thank
glad
you very much.
Here.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. It's just been one of those days, you know?
Yeah, it really has. It really has.
And it's just going to continue. It's going to continue being one of those days until it does something else. Hang on, just changing the settings on this device here so that it doesn't bother me anymore.
No, please take your time.
Yeah,
we've got time here. This is our time.
It is an hour of time, that's for sure. 6 to 7 on Tuesday nights here at WUSB Stony Brook, where Kyle and I talk about whatnot for the better part of an hour. And sometimes we have phone calls as well. And sometimes we get letters, and sometimes we get demands.
Sometimes we mix in a little what have you, but mostly what not.
Yeah, mostly.
The like is there too, yes. So, here we are.
Yes, here we are. You're behind the board tonight.
I am running the board tonight, if you haven't noticed. I'm really apologizing if I appear somewhat distracted, but everything is under control here at the console, here at the controls.
It does seem that way, doesn't it? The piano player playing quietly in the other studio. We are basically sitting here in a completely darkened studio because apparently we didn't pay our electric bill.
Yes.
That's okay. That's all right. No problem, because we don't need that. We don't need electricity. I guess for radio you probably do need some sort of electricity, but it doesn't matter. We don't know how it works. It just gets out there somehow, and you're listening to us, and that's really all that counts, right?
That is all that counts.
Off the Wall, we're here live. It's last week was the first time we were here live in a long, long time. And it's funny because as soon as we started going live on this show, we kind of got yanked on the other show. For those who weren't aware, we got preempted at the last minute last week, and we're preempted again this week. I don't know. Maybe we're not raising enough funds in the constant fundraisers that are going on over there, but it's good to have some time. So I'm happy to spend that here.
I am too. I'm learning about all kinds of things that I forgot about. I thought I knew how to run a radio station, but
that's what everybody
now
says.
Now I do.
Yeah.
Now I do. It's all coming back to me.
Well, okay.
No, I actually had to make sure the piano player was keeping nice and quiet over there.
Well, he's standing up now, so I think he's getting ready for some kind of crescendo or something. But okay, you want to talk about radio. I've got a story for you about radio.
Yes.
That just might remind you of what it's really all about.
Mm-hmm.
This actually is, it goes back to June. But like I said, we haven't been on live, so we've got a backlog of some stories. Some of them more interesting than others. This is about a group of kids who broke into a radio station in Western Australia and put themselves live on the air for an impromptu late-night show full of swearing. Yeah, the kids were aged between 8 and 14. They broke into the buildings of the wanky, oh, good Lord, Yupananapuru community radio station in Fitzroy Crossing back in June. The first police heard of it was a phone call from a listener concerned at the swear words that were being broadcast. Station manager Angie Stahl said she had previously given the children lessons in community radio. Apparently they took an interest. They worked out how to make the studio go live. You see, over there, apparently the stations go off the air at a certain time. So they broke in. They were able to turn on all the microphones, turn on the panel, and switch everything on in the right way, and decided to do a bit of a show themselves.
Very good.
Unfortunately, their show mainly involved swearing, which was a little punk, a bit punk, she says, a bit avant-garde, but also breaches the broadcasting laws and or codes of practice. So the cops got a call from an outlaying station ringing up to say, I think you've got some kids on the radio. They're busy swearing. You better go bust them. Ms. Stahl said the children appeared to have entered through a window in her house, which adjoins the studio.
Okay, this is
we got to visit this place. It sounds awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, she's got a bunch of kids that she teaches. She lives next to the radio station. You can get into the radio station by crawling through a window in her house. It just sounds like my kind of neighborhood. Now, while in the house, they ate some chicken nuggets and dyed their hair. Yeah,
they dyed their hair.
It was a full night out for these kids. They were making themselves at home. No damage was done. They were just hanging around the house, cooking some chicken nuggets. They dyed their hair red from some hair dye I had lying around.
Okay.
But after just enjoying the quiet space of the house, they found the keys to the radio studio and decided to let themselves in.
Of course.
Not long after going on air with their expletive-ridden jokes, police officers arrived to put a stop to the radio broadcast. Rather than having charges pressed against them, an agreement was reached with the children, their parents, and elders for them to perform sorry tasks.
Sorry tasks.
Sorry tasks. That's a thing.
Wow.
Yeah, so your kids are bad, you make them perform sorry tasks. I was quite angry at the time, said Ms. Stahl, but I'm more relaxed about it now and can see the funny side. Criminal charges might have had serious consequences for a couple of the kids, so we decided we could work it out amongst ourselves, and that worked out a lot better.
Sure. I thought you were going to say they had to perform on the radio, maybe some sort of...
opera or Shakespeare. That would be cruel and unusual.
Perform sorry tasks. Okay.
Ms. Stahl said the children may have a future in broadcasting. They'd come in a couple of times before to do a couple of shows and programs, so I taught them the basics. It's good to see the knowledge was used correctly.
So they did a decent job for their...
Technically, yes. Technically, it was the broadcast itself. That left a little bit to be desired. But, you know, as we know here at WUSB, you know, you're as good as your training.
Yes.
And if you are trained to take care of certain things technically, if you know certain things to talk about and not talk about, or ways to present yourself or ways not to present yourself, that kind of thing sticks. And I was taught this a long, long time ago by some of the really finest people in broadcasting, because it was incredible how seriously people took it, even though we were a very small station. Even smaller before we went on the air. We were a carrier current station that only about 10 people could listen to, but they still put all this effort and made it into a professional environment. And that kind of thing makes a big difference. So, hats off for this, though. This is that's how you teach kids radio, you know? Maybe not having them crawl through windows in your house and dye their hair, but just getting an interest, having them interested. That's the important thing.
Yeah, and it sticks.
It does.
They feel like they can do something with it, and that's the thing. That's the thing with knowledge, wisdom, facts. You can figure out, right? But wisdom is something you have to teach, and hopefully they can teach their friends and create a community themselves.
Radio is fun.
It is
fun. If you're out there listening and you want to get involved in radio, this is a perfect place to do it. If you're local, that is. And we certainly could use the help. And it's a blast. It never stops being a blast. I've been doing this for so long. And never do this, folks. Never ask your co-host on the air. Kyle, can I have a swig of that beverage over there? Well, because my throat's getting a little bit dry.
Okay,
let's grab this.
Do you need privacy, or
no,
should
fine.
I keep the mic
no,
up?
I won't make.
You're not going to squish it around or anything?
A professional knows how to do things like this.
Okay.
I mean, I'm smoking. You don't hear that,
okay,
right?
That's true. I don't.
Right. Don't tell anybody that. You're not supposed to smoke anywhere near this place.
No, you can't.
You can't. Okay. I'm going to go on a bit of a tirade here. But, you know, when I first started this place, you could smoke in the studio. Then, okay, you can't smoke in the studio. Then you could smoke outside in the hallway. All right, now you can't smoke outside in the hallway. You got to go downstairs. Well, you can't do that anymore. You can't even smoke outside anymore in this campus. You have to go off campus to smoke. You want a cigarette? You better put on, you know, a long version of Freebird, because you're going to have to get in your car and drive to another town to light up before you can come back. All right? That's how things have gone. You used to be able to just light up anywhere you want. That's how things have changed. Kids don't smoke. Smoking is awful, and I don't smoke, and I never have. But I see things happening, and it's kind of weird how things change. We were in the deli the other day, and I was pointing, And I was pointing at the cigarette display, and I noticed it's only like about 5 cartons of cigarettes there.
Not even cartons, packs.
That's what I meant. What's the difference?
A carton has like 20 packs in it.
I don't even know that.
Isn't that a bulk quantity of a cigarette?
Isn't that a case?
A case would probably be a big box full of cartons.
Oh, my God. This is why I never smoked. It was too complicated.
And then it's pallets, and then it's containers.
Anyway, yes, I was pointing, and there were only a few packs of these things for sale. Nobody was buying them. But I remember it used to be a whole wall that people would constantly be getting all the time. It's a stupid habit. It's not cool. It's bad for you. It's expensive. But I guess that's one of the ways they get people to stop.
I've noticed there's like actually campaigns now, and this is something you've pointed out. You pointed out a long time ago. I don't know if we maybe had something had a little.
I'm sorry. Just finishing that drink.
No,
here.
No, it's fine. No, enjoy it. Please drink up.
Also, hit the microphone with the bottle. Okay. Right, yeah. I'm done.
No, we want you to be quenched. You've pointed this out that drugstores sell cigarettes in the past, and I've seen this whole campaign. I think at the Stony Brook LIRR station, they have a billboard poster there. That's the last place I saw it, and it was basically depicting something with like RX, you know, the whole prescription thing, saying like, you know, your doctor wouldn't prescribe this for you, and it's like become a statewide campaign to some effect.
But you can buy cigarettes in drugstores to this day, I think, right?
Yeah, and people are trying to get it out of the drugstores.
I just don't understand how it ever got into the drugstore.
Right, it's a little weird.
I had this whole thing a year or so ago where I was trying to get some kind of, was it something for asthma? Some kind of device that, you know, is useful.
Oh, something to measure your breath?
Yeah, it was one of those things. And also, when we got trained to restart people's hearts,
yeah, CPR.
If we feel it's necessary to restart their hearts, we can do that. We know how. There's what's the device we were trying to get?
CPR mask.
A CPR mask. They're very, you know, useful to have.
Yeah.
They don't have that at CVS.
They have no like advanced life saving.
Yeah, you can get potato chips. You can get cigarettes. You can get beer. You probably can get beer.
You can get
you know all sorts of things. You can get cat food, but you can't get something directly related to medical practices
and life saving. Yeah. They said you have to go to a medical supply store.
But where will I get my cigarettes if I go there? You know?
Right. Right. Oh gosh, no.
I just don't understand. It's something in our psyche in America that makes everything start becoming like everything else. And I'll give you a couple of examples. CVS, okay, I'm picking on them because they just happen to be everywhere. 7-Eleven, they start becoming the same thing. How many things – 7-Eleven is across the street from CVS. How many things in 7-Eleven can you also find in CVS? And then there's a supermarket down the block. Everything starts to sell – you know, we were in Target, right? Target, Best Buy.
Yeah.
These stores are next to each other, and they're selling candy. And neither store has anything to do with candy, but they all sell candy for some reason. Even Home Depot, which is next to the two of them, sells candy.
Yeah.
And there are certain things that you can just buy in all of these stores. Now, another example of this, television networks. All right. Television networks, especially on cable, used to be distinct and different.
Yeah.
You know, and I bring up the Arts and Entertainment Network as an example because it used to be about arts and entertainment. It used to have opera and foreign films. Bravo used to be an amazing channel.
Right.
Didn't even have commercials. And now, you know, they all have repeats of the same television programs, the same reality shows. Even science fiction channels have reality shows now. And it seems like they're all moving to become sort of the same thing, geared towards the same people, and it's just crap. And it's something in us that makes us not want to have distinctive things, but have things that kind of merge into one homogeneous blob.
Homogeneity, yeah. And consolidation matters because it affects many different industries because of, well, what we know, advertising and other mediums basically generate revenue for all industries because they have to get a message out, and how they do that just kind of bleeds over. And I don't know, we talked to a small business owner about having like what they call impulse purchases at the register. It doesn't make any sense. There's no money in that, but why do we have it everywhere? It's the ubiquity, like the expectation that you have to have it. You know, you see it at a big box store, and then small business owners feel like they have to start stocking, you know, chocolates and gum.
Wait, there's no money in it? Then why do people? That makes no sense to me. What's the point then?
I think there's no money in it unless they mark it up a lot.
Okay.
I think you'll find like a big box store would mark up your whatever kind of candy and junk chips and stuff that might be there.
Yeah, you know, we should have a rule amongst intelligent people: don't buy anything that's within 2 feet of a register, because it's probably like there. It's probably there for the wrong reason. You know.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Unless it's water, something like that.
Why? No. Why? First of all, you shouldn't be buying water. Okay. We have good water. No matter where you are listening to this, you probably have decent water.
Yeah, that's a good point.
In this country. I used to buy bottled water a lot, and you actually got me off that habit.
So yeah.
The water industry is looking for someone to blame. It's you.
Right.
I have perfectly good water. You use a filter. You get rid of anything that might not be.
And there's like a million brands of pitchers that have filters built into them, and you know, mm-hmm. you can get all crazy with your water system, but it's true. Buying all that plastic is basically ending up in the ocean, and it's a really, really bad situation.
Yeah, and you know, if you're traveling, okay, get bottled water when you
Definitely.
Travel.
Yeah.
Make sure you know where you're getting it from, too. Otherwise, you might just be drinking the same thing in a bottle.
Right.
There are all kinds of things that we don't need that we buy, that we are kind of pressured to buy, and it's mm-hmm. it's interesting to see that, you know, the amount of money people spend on sneakers or just things that you can get away with not spending nearly as much on.
Yeah, it's like retail consolidation, because they're the types of things that are cheap to make and easy to sell at the register, and then it becomes this like salient market that people really don't need in the first place, because mm-hmm. you could probably do without. You could, you know, if it was structured differently, but they're the stores themselves existed mainly as like a convenience, just like a mainstream media channel might exist as a convenience. Well, it's right there, it's in the low numbers, it's not double digit, and you know, I just watch my programs, or you know, but then, you know, how much other stuff do you have to put up with as a result in the process, advertising wise and so on. But yeah, it really does matter, and that's why we care about places like this, and we continue to say, hey, if you want to work at a radio station, get involved at WSB, get involved in your community and in the world. It really does matter. You can be a part of whatever a community you see around you.
Just start thinking critically. I think that's the amazing thing. When people, we saw that at Hope a couple of weeks ago, at our hacker conference in New York, where people from all over the world gathered, and they all had all kinds of points and questions and challenges, and that's the healthiest thing in the world. We're still recovering from that, and probably will be for some time to come. But it's that kind of a thing is rare. That kind of a thing is hugely important. And I'm just happy that we're a part of it in some sense. And this place is a big part of it, because it encourages people to think for themselves, encouraged me to think for myself way back. And got me into all the things that I do now.
Yeah. And you've gotten me into it. I'm running.
See, it's contagious. It's like Ebola.
It really is. A little bit contagious.
I shouldn't joke about Ebola.
Way.
Ebola's not funny, don't. Kyle. No, it's not. You know what? There's somebody in New York with Ebola, I heard. I heard somebody was exhibiting symptoms after returning from Western Africa.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That sounds dire.
That's all I heard. That's the only thing I heard. Yeah, Ebola could be kind of a real downer when you think about it. But I don't know nearly enough about it. I admit that right off the bat. I do know, though, that about 1,000 people in Western Africa have died from this. That's a lot of people. But if it was something truly out of control, it would be a lot more than that. If it was, you know, an airborne disease that, you know, like tuberculosis or something, or the plague, it would be 9,000, 90,000, who knows, a lot in a period of time. It still could become something like that. It still could become something really scary and dangerous. And it is now, obviously, but even more so. The thing to remember is that this is part of nature getting even for us messing things up. Nature Right. always has the final say. And if, you know, we can screw things up quite a bit. We can cause climate change. We can deplete the ozone layer. We can pollute the oceans. But we can also be extinctified, and I think that's a word I just made up. But when you cause something to become extinct, nature can say, that's it, you're canceled, no more. And then nature recovers or adapts and becomes goes in a different direction. we're gonna explore alternative ideas. We had a difference of opinion, and the humans, well, yeah, they're not gonna be around anymore. That can always happen. So, you know, yeah, we can mess up the Earth. We can mess up probably other planets too. But we are not immune ourselves from just being cast aside if we become the problem. Yeah, think about that, folks. That's a warning here.
It's kind of like democratic elections and stuff.
How in the world is it like democratic elections? There's nothing democratic about this.
Well, you know, nature is like the executive, the legislature.
Nature's like
the judiciary.
No, nature's like a dictator. Okay, what nature
okay,
says.
Okay, I like that. Go,
when nature
go, yeah,
says
yeah.
goes. All right, I'm anti-nature because I believe, like you say, in democracy. I
yes.
believe in having a say.
Uh-huh.
Like it's going to rain tomorrow. I didn't have any say in that. Why? Why is it going to? Who gets to decide these things? Who gets to decide which way the tide goes? Who gets to decide when it's low tide or high tide? You know, or which way the moon goes in the sky? You know, we don't get any say in this. We just have to accept it all. And that's wrong. That's wrong.
Yeah, we should have more of a say in it.
Yeah. So, fighting nature, fighting fighting all kinds of other inevitabilities. Ebola, though, yeah, it is kind of a scary thing. It's a very scary thing. It makes you realize how frail we are and how it could easily crumble if things go in a bad way. That said, I hope they figure out how to treat people and how to keep this from becoming something completely out of control.
Yeah,
I know that's a controversial position to take, but I do hope it doesn't spread anymore.
Gosh, I was watching a little bit of the updates about it, and apparently they're working on a serum.
Uh huh.
And I think they just use the word serum. It seems like if you call something a serum, It sounds rare, it sounds like it'll work, it sounds like it sounds like it's a cure or something, and I just think that word is a little bit misleading, but apparently the company that is designed, they're very rare, mm-hmm. as I said, and they can only treat
and expensive too. I'll bet,
yes,
right?
Of
yeah,
course, yes.
Pricey, company has to make money on
and
this.
And they're depleting. They're mm-hmm. they're depleting very rapidly. Yeah, and so the apparent manufacturers are trying to apparently they're trying to ramp up production a little bit so that
oh how good of them
hope for the people in the other parts of the world in Africa.
Yeah, yeah, that
Which,
would be
it. Just I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
it seems so storybook that, you know, the wealthy American or whatever, wealthy industrialized nations come in with the magical serum to save everyone.
Oh, because that's what we're here for. We're here to lead the world and just to guide those people that don't know enough into living a better life. Not here. Stay there and do it. What? You can't do it? That's your fault. That's got nothing to do with us. And by the way, we're going to put another call center down the block, but you leave that alone.
Right.
Yeah.
There's
some inequality, disproportionate stuff going on.
It just sounds very paternalistic. And I just think it's funny that the linguistics, just the way it sounds, to perhaps be curing people with your magical serum. I don't know. I don't know how else to think about it other than just be I don't know. It just feels wrong. It feels like the wrong attitude we should be taking.
What would be the right attitude?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we're coming into we have the answer where we're gonna. I mean, for them to talk about providing a vaccine or a serum that's like affordable, and we're going to ramp up production. I mean, we've talked about healthcare here in this country. They talk so glowingly, the news media, and in the context of this, about how industrialized medicine has the answer and how we've gotten things taken care of. And I think about my own like healthcare and like what it's actually like to go to a hospital here in this country. And I just don't understand. It's just so clearly designed for profit. Whereas like, okay, yeah, let's get our samples out of West Africa, and then get them into Atlanta, isolate them, create some serum, ramp up production so that we can sell it to Western Africa and create vaccines for here at home. Yeah, that sounds good for quarter five, you know, projections or whatever earnings we're working on this quarter. It just seems so stupid because it's then you get here, you actually look at the medical situation on the street, or you know, us actually paying our bills and being age healthcare compliant, and just how all of that panned out. It just seems like a huge disconnect. But and when like global media, BBC, whoever is talking about this, about how industrialized medicine is going to come in and be a real help to the situation, they're not going to help. They're going to profit. That's the only reason they would.
Well, they might help too.
Well, they'll help as long as they profit. And it's I don't know. It's just frustrating when you actually have medical bills to pay yourself and.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, it's sad. I still don't have health insurance. You know that.
Yeah. How's that going?
Well, I don't know. No one really can help me. Apparently, I missed a deadline thanks to my other health insurance company that decided not to tell me they were canceling it till after the deadline. And everyone is just kind of like, oh yeah, you missed the deadline. Like, okay, that's it for you. It's all over. And I can't get a straight answer from anybody. Granted, I haven't really had the time to pursue this
mm-hmm.
because I've been kind of busy. But yeah, this health insurance thing, the healthcare, it doesn't really exist. All right. And nobody is actually watching out for you or maintaining anything or telling you what to do. I have no idea what to do. Someone tell me. How do I get affordable health care? You can't sign up for anything anymore. They won't let you. Unless I'm totally misreading what's being said on websites.
Yeah, I think the enrollment period opens up again.
When? When does it open
next
up?
Next year. Next after year. This, yeah, after the first of the year.
So I have to wait a whole year before I can even sign up for it. That's the most ridiculous system ever. I should be able to sign up whenever I want to. And also I should be able to press charges against the other healthcare company that dropped me after the deadline, leaving me with no place to go. That's just my feeling on that.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's just insanely complicated and stupid. And not only that, when I did look at the plans that were being offered, they were vastly expensive and didn't cover anything. So what's the point?
You know,
I don't have insurance, but I sort of feel like I did before. I didn't really have insurance then either,
and that's
except
what
I was paying for it.
Exactly. That's one of the reasons I'm actually paying. I'm a little behind because, well, it's adding up. I mean, I had for about a year there a really nice deal that included things like dental, which you normally have to pay for outside.
Never
if,
had
if you're
dental.
Privately covered.
Never had dental.
Right. If you're privately covered, though, I mean, you have to come up with these things outside, you know, on your own. And it was nice. But now I'm well, you know, around maybe double of what it was when I had that included, and I do not have that.
Uh-huh.
And this is with the, you know, AHC, ALC, American Healthcare, ACA
You know, it's been so
compliant,
long, I don't even remember what it's
whatever
called.
The compliant health plans are, that is with that, but it is substantially, I mean, not very much less than what it was had I stayed with a previous provider, and that, you know, and right around the ballpark of other situations I've been in with health insurance that are bad, like Cobra and other
things.
I was
enthusiastic about this. I really was. I supported the whole idea, but come on, guys, you got to be a little inclusive and actually cover things. You know, I don't mind paying if things are covered. I don't think it's right to have people paying a monthly premium and then have a $5,000 deductible on top of that when what they're paying is equivalent to what people in other countries pay for full coverage.
Mm.
Makes no sense to me. So it has to be something that actually covers healthcare and is open to people and relatively simple. One of the things that I remember reading when this first happened was that, this is being introduced, but nothing locally will be accepting it. And what are you supposed to do then? You know, all these healthcare plans that are being introduced aren't being accepted. So it's like they're fantasy plans.
Right.
It's it should not be on the consumer to have to worry about all this. The consumer should be able to just go and get themselves looked at, get themselves treated, pay for their healthcare. End of story.
You know,
they shouldn't have to be doing all this negotiating and phone calls and letters and things like that, because that makes you unhealthy. It really does. And it's just not right. Anyway, I don't want to.
Well, we've covered this before. Yeah, I would start getting into the whole discussion over these. You know, they don't talk to each other. The disconnect between these insurance providers and the actual doctors versus, you know, when the rates are friendly for them, when they decide they want to talk, they're all in communication and all about the right rate. But when it's you, they never talk to each other, and it's always well over what you're willing to pay or even probably could pay. It's just, oh, it's crazy. I'm again, as I said, putting it all off mainly because I've got other situations that I don't want to, that, you know, just getting into that of finding out like what is covered and what, I mean, I have things that I'm actually, there are discrepancies in the last year or two that I'm going back looking now and at, in hindsight, saying, well, I don't think that was covered, and wow, I really wish that was. And to say nothing of the actual plan and dental and other things I was saying.
What really is unfair to me, and what annoys me, and this will be the last thing I say on it, is the fact that there are so many people who actually don't worry about this because it's all covered in their corporation that they work for.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, so the people who have mindless 9-to-5 jobs and sometimes good 9-to-5 jobs, they don't have to worry because they're in that upper bracket that is just completely covered, and end of that story. But there are a lot of people who aren't part of that, and they're the ones that I think aren't being listened to.
Yeah, we need to be considerate of everyone's needs.
Yeah, it should be the same for everybody. That's what I thought we were heading towards.
Sure.
Okay.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Like you said, we talked about this before. It's one of the topics. We have a bunch of things we like to cover. Gun control. Let's skip gun control this week. Abortion. I'm not going to do that either. What else?
Just as a side note, we could use a better mouse here in the station.
That's not on the agenda.
It's all
for tonight.
Worn out.
All right. Well, that's something I can take up with management.
Yeah, we better talk to the janitor.
Israel. Nobody's talking about it.
Oh my God!
What's up with this? I mean, look. we watch a lot of interesting programs. We watch John Oliver and John Stewart and Bill Maher and people like that. But I'm blown away. Maybe I missed it, but these guys just aren't focusing on what is the most horrendous story going on out there.
Right.
And that's the massacre of all these people by one of our friends, one of our friendly allies that we actually supply with the weapons that they use to do this kind of thing. And it's like people are being told, yeah, lay off this. Don't talk about that. It's too volatile. And if you say something against it,
you don't support Israel.
You wind up being attacked. You wind up being called anti-Semitic. I'll tell you who the most anti-Semitic country in the Middle East is. It's Israel. And you know why? Because, hey, Palestinians, they're Semites too, you know, and it's something that people don't seem to really think through.
Right.
It's got nothing to do with being anti-Jewish because, hey, you know those fine people in Williamsburg, the guys who walk around the streets with all their getup and have a strange way of life that's alien to us. The ultra-Orthodox, they are anti-Israel. Did you know that? When we saw a pro-Palestine demonstration on 7th Avenue a few weeks ago, we saw some of those guys in the demonstration. Think about that.
Orthodox Hasidic.
Yeah,
guys.
So you can't judge things so quickly. It's not nearly as simple as you might think. But what you can do is you can see what is happening, and you can reject those people who tell you that there is no other way, that this is how it has to go. It is utter nonsense what we are seeing and what we are tolerating. There is absolutely no excuse in any civilization, any situation, to do the kinds of things that Israel has been doing the last few weeks, simply hurtling missiles onto populated regions. They say, the justification just simply blows me away. They say, well, we saw a couple of militants on a motorcycle, so we bombed the UN school full of children. Okay, you know, I don't know where people learn tactics of battle, but that is not one that makes any sense whatsoever as far as actually winning a battle. You're trying to fire people on, you know what, chase them on another motorcycle and take them out with a Glock or something. But if you're going to fire a missile from a plane or a drone or whatever it is that you're doing, you're going to hit other people. And I know these people don't really count in your eyes. They're not really human. But to the rest of the world, they kind of are. And they need to be treated that way. And every single person that has been wounded or killed represents defeat for Israel as far as not presenting their case in a very convincing way. It is a failure when you murder people to preserve your way of life. You are doing something incredibly wrong. And, you know, some of the other justification that I hear for this whole thing was, well, if only Hamas would stop lobbing those missiles over over to Israel. You know, those missiles are about as dangerous as fireworks. Yeah, three people have died, and that's a horrible thing. Three people have died because of those incredibly clumsy missiles. They fired 3,000 of them. So that's one person per 1,000 missiles. And by the way, they only have 4,000 left. So what happens after that? Why not just everybody stay indoors for a little while, let them fire the remaining 4,000, then they're done. And if nobody gives them more missiles, then you might not have the missiles going by. But I mean, more people have probably gotten hit by cars in the towns that are being targeted by these missiles in that period of time. I'm not trying to minimize this. It's not a good thing, but it does not justify that kind of a reaction where you kill 2,000 people because somebody else is lobbing missiles that basically you get almost every single one of them before it lands on the ground. And those that do land on the ground land in no man's land. So it's the most ineffectual. It's like that guy yesterday who took over some kind of tractor, in Jerusalem, and tried to overturn a bus. I don't know what was going on there. They say it's an act of terrorism. I say it's an act of some guy just going nuts, finally seeing all this horror of his people, and just saying, I'm going to take something out, even if it's an empty bus. Yeah, he ran over a guy too. He killed somebody. But this, you know, this is not the kind of terrorism that we saw at 9/11. It's an isolated instance. It's no more terrorism than a guy going into an office and shooting a bunch of people there is. And that should be terrorism, I think, because that has more of an effect on who we are. Mm-hmm. and makes us fear things a lot more. But the justification is what I think really bothers me more than anything else. That people can actually live with themselves and say, yeah, we have no choice. We have to do this. We have to bomb schools because the terrorists are hiding with the people. Well, if the terrorists are hiding with the people, then you don't do that, all right? And you also think about, okay, so when the terrorists come and they blow something up, might they not say, well, we were trying to blow up the army or the leaders, but, all those people at the bus stop, they were in the way. They were hiding amongst those people, all right? You can use this logic in all sorts of ways, and it's not really valid. It's not really valid at all. The hypocrisy is just so annoying and so frustrating because people seem to want to turn a blind eye to it, and I'm very dismayed at how little attention. I like the United States' reaction to the latest school bombing, which was that it was disgraceful, I think was the word they used.
Yes.
I'd like to see that result in some actual action. These people should be held accountable for what they've done. They should be put on trial. They should be subjected to the same kind of justice that they're giving out, just at the hands of somebody who is not at such an incredible disadvantage.
Hmm. Yeah,
that's my what I have to say about that.
Yeah. Food for thought, something to think about.
Yes. Do you want to take phone calls?
I don't know if I'm qualified. I yes. Answer is yes. I have the phone. I'm ready. Do I just give out the phone number then?
You could give out the phone number. We have to go into delay first. Now to do this, well, okay. Since you're over there this time, you have to learn on the air how to do delay. So the first thing you have to do is you have to find something that's 7 seconds long on that stupid machine we call a DigiCart. So you hit the left arrow, which will take you into the menu beforehand. You have to hit it harder than that. Yeah, okay. Now you hit it too many times now. Now you have to hit the right arrow to go. Okay, now you went back too far. Left arrow. Okay, now you twist the little dial until it says IDs. And then once you get to the IDs, you hit the right arrow. And then you simply scroll through on the wheel until you find something that's 7 seconds long. Or 6 seconds long or anything like that, okay? And then what you do is you have that ready to go. You put that up in program, the DigiCard over there.
Right.
Then you switch your headphones to Audition. I hope everybody at USB is listening because this is a live lesson on how to use the delay system. Your headphones are in Audition. That's the black knob, the third black knob over. Now you see the four black knobs there? Yeah. The little one. Yeah. No, that's the fourth one. That's the third one. You switch it to A. And then when you switch your microphone to Audition, you will hear yourself in Audition. But don't do it now because you won't hear yourself at all. It won't go over the air.
Okay.
Okay, so now you pop the delay channel 8 up to about, I guess, around 10 or so. All right, so now delay is up.
Mm-hmm.
You got to put it in program.
Right.
So now anything that goes through Audition will show up in delay 7 seconds later. In fact, why don't you go into Audition now on your microphone, say hello, and then I'll hear it 7 seconds in the future. Okay, so I heard you say that next to me, but we're going to hear it over the air in a couple of seconds, and then we'll know.
Hello.
See, that was you. Wow. That was pretty cool. You might want to turn it down just a little bit on channel 8 because it was a little bit hot there. Yeah. Turn it down.
Okay.
Channel 8. Yeah. Talking in program. Okay, so now what you want to do is you want to start that ID and switch us both to Audition.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and you were talking in delay apparently.
Okay, so now what you want to do is you want to start.
All right, now you okay. Now move us to Audition.
Graduate student organization at Stony Brook University.
All right, I'm hearing the wrong thing because I'm plugged into that. Are you in Audition? Am I? I'm in program. You see, people are hearing me too early.
Okay, we're in Audition.
All right, I'm hearing the wrong thing because I'm plugged into that. Are you in Audition? Am I? I'm in program. You see, people are hearing me too early.
Okay, right, yeah, you're better. In Audition.
Okay, that went relatively smoothly, I think.
The phone is on Audition too.
The phone has to be an Audition as well.
Okay.
That's channel 2, so okay. Make sure that's an Audition. You might want to occasionally move your headphones to X to make sure that you're not too distorted. And if you are, then you turn channel 8 down a little bit. Did I what?
You said I was dull?
I didn't say anything.
Dull and distorted?
No, if you're distorted, turn that down just a little bit. Yeah, you look good. We have a lot of phone calls coming in.
I know.
I'm not there complaining about what I said about Israel or complaining about us giving live lessons about how to use delay on the air.
So just pick up and press the button?
Don't pick it up. Just press the button and make sure channel 2 is up.
And there are no calls.
Well, good job there. You lost all the calls, all the time it took us to get it working. Why are we even in delay? It's so uncomfortable being in delay. If you were calling us, please call us back.
631-632-2901.
No, 6901. Let's try to get the phone number right at least.
631-632-6901.
Very good. Yeah. We're waiting for the phone calls to come back in. It's okay, Kyle. It's your first time. First time doing delay.
Very confusing.
It's extremely confusing. You know what? Most radio stations, you press a button. That's right. But the way we set it up here is just incredibly, it's more complex than it has to be. And it also doesn't sound that good.
Right. I'm just now worried about the outro. If I have to be in delay for that. A lot of responsibility.
Coming out of delay is a lot easier than going into delay.
Okay.
Yeah. You flick a switch. 631-632-6901 if you have thoughts or comments on anything.
Hello, you're on WUSB, off the wall.
Oh, am I live on the radio?
Yes, you are live. You're on Off the Wall with Kyle and Emmanuel.
Hello, Kyle and Emmanuel. Well, my name is Margaret, and I guess I've never listened to you before, but I just have a question. Maybe you could phrase it for me better. It's a philosophical question dealing with...
Wait, dealing with what?
Aesthetics.
Aesthetics, okay.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead real quick. What's the question?
Oh, okay, the question is this. Why is it that things that are typically sad or somewhat depressive tend to be the most beautiful if you're considering music or visual arts? So that depressive element usually adds an additional element of beauty to the subject. That's my question.
Well, can you give a specific example of that?
And I mean, comment on that. Are you like a philosopher?
A what now?
Who are you anyway?
Well, that's a good question.
Comment on that. I don't know.
That's a very very complicated question.
It's pretty deep. Wow.
That is great though. I guess
she hung up. Can you believe that after all that?
Oh my goodness.
Well, that's depressing.
Well,
do you want to try to answer that question?
Yeah, and I was going to add this call, but okay. Who are we, and why is the depressive element good in beauty, or what is it? I think sorrow, I think tragedy, I mean, that's a theatrical mode, right? I think those things, people yearn for that. They want that a little bit. You know, don't like to be upset, but we all get choked up, and sometimes that is a beautiful thing. Tears of joy. We have all kinds of phrases for that. So I think why it gets the most aesthetic, or why it might be the most beautiful, I think that's subjective. I don't know if that's entirely true, but it's definitely got a place in that. And that's about as much as I would say.
Well, it's not the Disney Channel. You know, everything isn't always happy and fun. And it's through tragedy. It's through the whole range of emotions that you experience life.
Yes.
So if you close yourself off to anything that's negative, well, that's the most negative thing you can do, I think.
Right. And then your happiness probably won't be as authentic, mm-hmm. right? When you do experience joy. And if you're always expressing that and looking for that, you might not appreciate sadness, or you might not appreciate it as much. Yeah, given the contrast with sadness.
I like that she asked, who are you?
That's
a good question. That's the kind of question that we need to be asked more. Good, interesting call. See, there's
very
people out there. Interesting people listening.
Sure.
631-632-6901. Anyone else out there who might be interesting, please give us a call. You don't have to top that, but you know, anything you say I think would be food for thought.
And I do hope that she continues to listen, that she found us on the FM dial, and we also stream. Thanks for becoming a new listener.
If
I guess
you want sadness, you're in the right place, because we have plenty of depressing and sad things to share with you.
Cool.
Maybe not necessarily this hour. I can't hear if the phone is ringing, but it's not ringing at this moment.
Okay. We did have someone eagerly calling, so please call back.
Well, it's 5-2, so we don't have very much time. So at most, we'll have a minute or two if that person wants to call back. 631-632-6901. What's this I hear about? We're talking about people being inspired and doing things. Another Ed Snowden?
Yeah,
Someone else is leaking information. We knew this was going to happen.
We were thinking about it and definitely talking about it a couple weeks ago. And I was just cruising over here to the Cable News Network website, and they had a breaking news story, and it basically said in two words, another Snowden question?
That's the headline on CNN, another Snowden.
Another Snowden, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's almost word for word what we've been saying here on the radio, at the conferences, that there are people out there right now
Correct.
That will be in a position to share information. And will they do that when the right moment comes? And I'm happy to say I think they are doing that. I think people are sharing the information they're privy to.
Absolutely. I'm amazed. It's also as you read a little bit further, it did say that was coming from The Intercept, which is, as you know, Glenn Greenwald's foundation or a news organization that was started recently. So that ought to be interesting.
This is going to be. I wish we weren't preempted tomorrow, but that's how that goes. Well, okay. You can write to us, otw@2600.com. I don't think we have time to take that other call, but Kyle, you're about to make a mistake here because you're still in delay.
Right.
You're about to
go
to the outro, and the outro will be in delay. Well, no, the outro won't be in delay, but we will. And we won't know what's going on. So we need to come out of delay. And the way you come out of delay is much better. You don't turn that down or you turn us down.
Okay.
What you basically do is you switch everything back. First, you start with your headphones. You switch that back to X. And then
like this?
Just
like that, live,
no,
all the way
wait,
live.
No, not like that, because you stepped
stop
on
talking
me. And you come in live.
I didn't step on you.
How could you? You started talking before 7 seconds went by. So there's no way I could have said all that.
Okay, so let's wait 7 seconds.
No, it's already happened. The seven seconds are gone.
Darn it.
You can't come back.
You said just wait for me to stop talking. So would I wait for you to stop talking in real time, right? In X, not live.
Well, you would have heard me. If you had the headphones on, you would have heard me.
Darn it.
You didn't have the headphones on, did you? You're going to hear how this sounds when you listen back.
I'm never going to be producer of the year.
All right. Well, now would be a good time for the outro music to begin playing, if we want to be very obvious about what we see. Radio, folks, is a learning experience. You could be doing this for how...
Whoa.
I just brushed against the microphone and it...
The universe will face havoc.
It went all the way across the room.
Oh. The Earth will be devastated.
It's not your first day.
No, it's not. It's not.
The Earth will be devastated.
Until next week.
Well, what do we want to tell people to do? Well, I guess that's it for us this week. OTW@2600.com is our email address.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. And
uncontrollable holocaust.
Pay attention, and we'll see you next time.
The universe will face havoc. The Earth will be devastated. The Earth will be devastated. Thank you.